doing this kitab, Islam al-Aqaid, a reformation of one's, correction of one's beliefs according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at. In the kitab, we're doing all different sections about Aqaid and our beliefs. Here, by the way, two important sections are mentioned, which is not actually part of Aqaid and beliefs. In our deen, we get something called fiqh. May you read in Laubi, khayran yufaqihu fi deen. Who Allah wants good, Allah gives him fiqh and understanding in deen. Ulama say fiqh is of three parts, which fiqh means, which is extracted from the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one is the normal fiqh, what we know all our masail. But there are two sections which have got a great importance. So the ulama have extracted it, they've made it a separate branch. One is called Aqaid in our beliefs, and one is called Tasawwuf, because it has got to do with the heart. It's a whole other branch. So these are all three parts together, which is called fiqh in our deen. So yesterday we did about taqleed, the importance of following the great fuqaha, and the benefits a person will get. And if a person abstains from following them, then there's great danger for a person. So the next section is on Tasawwuf. Tasawwuf or Tazkiyah refers to internal purification and attainment of internal purity from filth and dirt. In order to become a perfect Muslim, it is necessary to reform one's internal actions, just as it is necessary to correct one's beliefs and external actions. The awliya, by means of their illuminated hearts, understood the manner of beautifying the internal in accordance with the teachings of the Quran and Hadith. There are many ways and methods of tasawwuf. Four chains are famous. These are the Naqshbandiya, Chistiya, Qadiriya, and Suharwardiya. That's how we get the four methods. So in tasawwuf also you get four different methods and ways. The object of all four is to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the happiness of Allah ta'ala and closeness to Him. And a person will learn this via the means of one sheikh or guide. Whichever sheikh one has greater reliance on, he should follow. It is, however, not correct to speak ill of others. One will follow a sheikh as long as his words are not contrary to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he has erred, one should not follow them in their error. Mashayikh of all four chains were present in all eras and are still present. A person should pledge allegiance to any sheikh of the chain with which he has got some compatibility. This is called bi'at al-tariqah. It is proven in the hadith. One should choose such a sheikh who is a true friend of Allah Ta'ala. He follows the sunnah and practices on the sharia. The objective of bi'at is to purify one's inside and outside by following one's sheikh's teachings. For this reason, a person should not merely suffice on merely pledging allegiance, taking bi'at, but he should be concerned about attaining the objective. He should be engaged at all times in reforming his internal and external by means of the guidance of the sheikh. So whatever sicknesses and spiritual weaknesses a person has got, he must try to remove that. And his external also, he must try to reform and better himself. The next step is an iman. Iman will only be regarded as correct when a person understands and accepts all that which has come to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To doubt, belie, and find faults or to mock any of their teachings will cause one to lose his iman. All those things which are disputably proven from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are called zaruriyat deen, the necessary parts of deen. If any of these aspects are rejected, one will leave the fold of Islam. A few examples of this are to believe in the oneness and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in the angels, the heavenly scriptures, the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, Qiyamah, Taqdeer, life after death, to hold the view that Salah, fasting, Hajj, Zakat, Jihad are part of Islam and obligatory, and to hold the view that interest, adultery, lies, etc. are forbidden. Iman is verification of the heart. In order to execute Islamic law, it is necessary to testify to it with the tongue. If a person verifies with the heart, but not verbally, he will not be regarded as a Muslim. And the basis of iman and kufr is upon a person's end. When a person is leaving this world, at the time of leaving this world, what is in the heart of a person, this will be the basis of a person's life, whether he's accepted, he's got iman, or he's got kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us live with iman, die with iman, and be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with iman. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 22nd Parah was recited. First surah is Suratul Ahzab. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great rank and position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An-Nabiyyu awla bil-mu'minina min anfusihim. That the Nabi of Allah has got a greater right over the believers than their own lives also. And the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the spiritual mothers. They've got very, very great rank. And the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this rank, because of his great obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala commands him, O Nabi of Allah, ittaqillah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to not obey the kuffar and munafiqeen and hypocrites, and follow whatever revelation has come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and finally place your full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These ayats were revealed when the people, the mushrikeen, the non-Muslims, they had certain funny customs which they used to believe. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to refute these customs of the people. And many of the social customs to remove them with regards to nikah, marriages, etc. is normally very difficult. So what the people used to believe, that if you got an adopted son, he's your real son. So if he, for example, you pass away, there's inheritance for him. If he gets married to a lady, she's like your daughter-in-law, then you can never get married to her. Where one, Zayd radiallahu anhu, he was married to Zainab radiallahu anha, and he was the adopted son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when he divorced her, then Allah Ta'ala commanded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get married to Zainab radiallahu anha to remove the false customs of the people. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this despite all the taunting and the mocking of the people. People were very upset with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he got married to his own daughter-in-law. How can a person do such a thing? But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't worry about the taunts of the people and he obeyed the command. It was a clear direct command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remove this custom. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this, so Allah Ta'ala now in this surah mentions that the great position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such was the position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that at the Battle of Ahzab, the whole forced alliance, all how many different groups, 12 to 15,000 people come against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Medina Munawwara, where the Muslims are about 3,000 people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually repels them. And this was the last battle actually where the kuffar attacked the Muslims. Thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from now on we will attack them only. And after Allah gave them the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah and many, many victories, because they remained steadfast. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْرَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a beautiful example for a person whose object of life is Allah, the day of Qiyamah, and who remembers Allah in abundance. That the steadfastness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite all the opposition, especially in the battlefield, how he remained steadfast. So Allah says, it's a very beautiful example of istiqamah, steadfastness. Look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and have this quality also within yourself, to be steadfast in the matters of deen. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that no one must cause any difficulty to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not the non-Muslims, and never mind even the close family members of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not cause him any harm. The wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, money started coming into Medina Munawwara, so they had the desire that we must have a bit extra of this worldly life, a bit more basic things. They lived very, very poor lives. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to be an example of the highest levels of zuhud and abstinence in this world. So Allah subhanahu, so he became upset. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the command that, O Nabi of Allah, tell your wives, if they want this worldly life, come, I will give you this worldly life, but you must take a divorce from me. But if you want Allah in the day of Qiyamah, then Allah has kept a very, very great reward for you people. And all the Azwaji Mutahara, they decided to stay with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam despite all of the difficulties, the hardships of this worldly life, because what Allah had kept for them in the year after, they all passed the examination of flying colors. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, O the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not like other women, your rank is very high if you got the quality of taqwa. And what is the quality of taqwa in women? For women must have these qualities. So this command Allah is giving for all the women of the world, but for the Azwaj al-Mutahara to a greater extent, Allah is explaining to us what is the quality of taqwa and piety in a woman. First thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. She must not speak in a soft, alluring voice. Otherwise, the person in whose heart there is a sickness of lust, he will start having thoughts and evil thoughts about her. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. When you are speaking, speak according to normal norms, how a person must speak, but don't speak with a nice voice. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi says, it's impossible that the Azwaji Mutahharat would ever have spoken with a soft voice, with an alluring voice. What it means is, don't speak in your normal voices, because women by nature, their voice is very attractive. It draws a person. So Allah is commanding the Azwaji Mutahharat, do not speak in your normal voice, because men will get attracted to it. When you're speaking, speak about with a coarse voice, with a bit of a rough voice, so that a man that's not affected, he doesn't get any evil thoughts about you. It is mentioned after this, when this ayat was revealed, some of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, they would take a cloth and put it in front of their mouths when they were speaking to other men, so their actual voice could not be heard. So this is the first command Allah has given, the voice of the woman. A person should be very careful, because men by nature is inclined towards the women folk, and when he hears the voice, sometimes even she's wearing a cloak, she's covering herself, but when a person hears the voice, a person gets affected by it. So this is the first command Allah gave. Then Allah said, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, and remain within your homes. This is the idea, this is the command for women, the highest level of hijab, al-hijab, al-buyut. The women folk must remain within their houses. This is the system which Allah Ta'ala has made from the time of Adam alayhi salam. Men will work outside, and the women will work, stay in the house. And by means of this, there will be a good family structure. There will be love in family. The children will grow up. They will have parents, a mother at home to look after them. Once you take the women folk out of their homes, and it comes in the hadith that close to Qiyamah, one sign is that the men will take out the women folk and put them in the shops. The businesses will become so big that now the men and women will be working next to one another in the shops and in the marketplaces. And this is a clear sign of Qiyamah which we are seeing in today's time. And one is the reason is we are taking out our families from their homes, taking out our daughters from their homes, and we are sending them to all the wrong environments, to high school, to universities. They are in the wrong company also, and they want to become career women, and they want to become free, and they want to have, independence. And because of this, then many marriages break off. But the system of Allah is, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, remain within your houses. And Allah says, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. Do not expose yourself, like how the people of the first jahiliyat, the era of ignorance, used to expose themselves. وَلَمَا تِي, from here we learn, there will be jahiliyat ثانية. Allah said, أُولَى, first, that means there will be a second one. And that is the time we are living in today. And when a person studies the tafsir of this ayat, you will see whatever qualities were found in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before, in the time of Jahiliyyah, is found in today's time. The women would come out of their houses, some tafsir is mentioned, the hair used to be open, some say the legs used to be showing, some say that the clothing would be very tight fitting. So even though they are wearing clothing, but the clothing, you can see all the contours of the body, the shapes of the body. So this is how the woman used to dress up, and the style of walking, that is, a woman supposed to walk with shame and modesty. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions, do not walk like this here, how the people in Jahiliyyah, and they expose themselves. So these are all commands for the women folk. And then together with this, performing of salah, giving of zakat, following Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah wants by means of this for a person to become pure, when he will have followed these commands of Allah Ta'ala. And then to have salim in the homes, to remind one another. These are all commands Allah has given for the women folk, so that the house can become a house of jannat in this world, when these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are followed. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the rank of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that it's not possible for any believing person that when Allah and His Nabi has passed any decision, they will have any choice in their own matter. This is my choice, this is what I understand. But they will wholeheartedly accept the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam do not fear anyone in conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person, the rank of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned here, what his status is, shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadira, he will be a testifier on the day of Qiyamah. All the four, his whole ummah, he is a person who is giving glad tidings, he is a warner, he is calling the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is a bright lamp, and by means of him, whoever will follow him, they will find light, and they will get their path towards Jannah, compared to those people who are not following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this ayat here, which is very beautifully, O people of Iman, if you have to get married to believing women, and you give them talaq, without touching them, without having any relations with them, you never met them also, you gave them talaq. But now because there was some relationship between husband and wife, you got married to her, she accepted. Now she doesn't have no iddah to sit, she got no rights over her. But still too, you must give her some meher, you must give her a present. If there was no meher announced, you must give her a present. If the meher was announced, you must give her half the meher, give her something and let her go in a nice way. So ulama say that when this is the right of a woman who you took no benefit from, she gave you nothing at all. But still you have to look after her and fulfill her rights. So much of rights Allah has given to in Islam, to a woman you gave talaq, who you never touched, you never met also. So what is the rights of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose ihsan and favors upon us are so great, which a person can never ever enumerate. So therefore, we can understand the rank of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions certain specialities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the one speciality granted to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah and His angels are continuously sending durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O people of Iman, you also send salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and send salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with love and fervor and feeling. This is the shows the high rank of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person who causes taklif and difficulty to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way, Allah will curse them in this worldly life and the year after. And Allah has prepared for them a very painful punishment, a disgraceful punishment. There are different ways, ulama have mentioned, of causing harm to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But one tafsir, Ikrimah radiallahu anhu says, Nazalat fil musawwirin. This ayat was revealed regarding those people who take photos, who make photos, who make pictures. That they are causing taklif to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah curses upon such a person. So Allah protect and save us. Today it has become very common, the taking of pictures, of photographs, selfies. A person is making ibadat of Allah ta'ala, so he's taking a picture of himself and sending it out. Whereas these are all supposed to be done with sincerity, and the whole ruh and the soul of the ibadat is destroyed. Qurbani is a great ibadat. People are taking photos of themselves, of the animals. So this is completely prohibited in Islam. Allah give us true understanding. Severe warnings are mentioned regarding this. Then the day after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the high rank of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the Muslim women, that when they are forced to leave their homes, they must cover themselves. Yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. Cover themselves with a jilbab, outer covering. Their whole face must be covered also, and they must leave their homes in this way. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُذَيْنَ. That's the least, is at least they will be recognized that this is an honorable woman and no harm will be caused to them. That's also is a speciality of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The past ummah, they used to cover their whole bodies besides their faces and their hands. But in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave such honor, because something which is valuable, a person conceals it. Because money is of value, you conceal it. You don't show it to the whole world. So our women folk are extremely valuable. And a person doesn't just expose them to the world. So Allah has given the command firstly to the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then to his daughters, and then to all the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the year after, some people will be complaining and saying, Rabbana inna ta'ana sadatana. Oh Allah, we unfortunately, why didn't we follow Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We followed our leaders and the big people amongst us. And in today's time, many of the government people we are following, or we are following sports stars, or we are following musicians, or we are following TV actors and actresses. We followed all these people we thought were very great in our lives. فَأَضَلُّونَ السَّبِيلَ. They took us on the wrong path and they misguided us. Oh Allah Ta'ala gives them double punishment, and Allah Ta'ala cursed them in great abundance. Now a person on the day of Qiyamah will be feeling so sorrowful, and he will be cursing those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that do not be like those people who cause taklif and difficulty to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He's the Nabi of Allah. Allah will give him that, he's given him a high position. For you, for your own benefit, have respect and honor for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The next surah is Surah Sabah. In that surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about mujazat. Mujazat means recompense. That some people denied a recompense in the year after. So what was the final result of those people? And this is the way of the kuffar and disbelievers. لا تأتينا ساعة. Qiyamah won't come. Allah Ta'ala says definitely it will come. Allah knows every single atom's weight which is in the heavens and the earth. Everything is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So definitely Allah will take a reckoning from you people. There were certain people in this world who accepted it, like Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam and Sulaiman alayhi salam. And one very beautiful quality which they had was the quality of shukr. And they appreciated the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because realizing I have to stand up tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah. So whatever Allah bestowed with them with, they made shukr and they thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah complains here, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Very few of my servants, they've got the quality of shukr, of being appreciative, of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shukr means, one is on our tongue, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us His bounty. And then secondly, in our mind, to have this yaqeen and conviction that this bounty has come to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm not deserving of it. And number three, to utilize our limbs, whatever bounty Allah has given us, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah complains, very few of my servants have got the quality of shukr. Look at the nation of Sabah, that Allah has given them what gardens, and what fruits Allah has given them, and huge, huge places, and wonderful things were coming out. But these people were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They broke the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eventually the dam which they had, the waters broke, and whatever plantations they had, all of this was completely destroyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now what was left? All thorny trees and all things of no benefit for man. This was the punishment of the nashukri, of the ungratefulness. Allah had made it such so easy for them, the roads Allah had given them. And on the roads they used to go, it was very easy. Like in today's time, you get filling stations every 100 kilometers, 50 kilometers. You can stop there, you can have a rest at night also. If your person has to sleep, you get his motels. So Allah had made his great bounties for these people, wonderful roads, and very comfortable for them to travel. But these people, instead of making shukr and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they showed words of ungratefulness. Oh Allah, make our journey longer, make it difficult for us. And Allah has made it easy for a person, he must thank Allah. Don't ask Allah for calamities and difficulties. So eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished these people, and all of these bounties was taken away from these people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people who disbelieve in the day of Qiyamah, in the year after, they'll be fighting with one another. In Jahannam, they will be having discussions. And some people, the weak people, the followers, will say to the leaders who they regarded as big in this world, that if it wasn't for you people, we would have accepted Iman. The big people will say that, did we stop you from Hidayat? Did we put a gun to your head? We just gave you da'wah, we just showed you, we came on TV, we showed you how you must live your life. We never forced anybody from your own. You went and you started watching these things, you started reading novels and started following the people in those cartoon characters and all of these people. So you people yourselves were sinners. But then the weak people will say, no, but actually you people made planning day and night how you can misguide us and take us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it will be too late now. Both of these groups will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. And many things which a person will feel will help him in this world. Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, it won't help you. Your money and your children, which you thought will take you close to Allah ta'ala, will help you in the year after. It will be of no benefit for a person in the year after. The year after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that a person must really ponder and think about the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about Qiyamah and Akhirat, and a person will be saved when he will do so. Next surah, which is Surah Fatir, in here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the day of Qiyamah is coming. But before the coming of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a system that Allah ta'ala sends Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. People will come and invite you, encourage you. If you follow that the path of the Anbiya alayhim salam, you'll be successful. And if you don't follow them, then you will be unsuccessful. So for means of this, Allah has sent angels down. They come with a message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuha nasu uzkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. O people, remember the favor of Allah upon you. Is there any other creator besides Allah who gives you sustenance from the heavens and the earth? Allah has bestowing you with so many favors. Remember the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Let not this worldly life deceive you. وَلَا يَقُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. The biggest deceiver, shaitan, let him not deceive you regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if I build up a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my life in this world will become difficult. What benefit will I get? In all things, is Allah existing? Is Allah not existing? Shaitan comes and puts a person in deception regarding these matters. Allah said, remember, shaitan is your open enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Take him as your enemy. And he is calling his people to be among the people of Jahannam. He wants to destroy you. So obey the way of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. If you want izzat and honor, فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. All honor lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who seeks izzat from anywhere else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will find this grace. And if a person seeks izzat in the commands of Allah ta'ala, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give him truth, izzat and honor in this world. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. O people, all of you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are complete beggars in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is completely independent. If Allah wants you, Allah can destroy you people and bring a new creation. Nothing difficult upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One way of showing our need is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humble ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are many, many signs in the world. And those who have got the true knowledge of deen, they are the ones who will see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and create the khashiyat and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are different groups among the Muslim people. We have given our kitab, the Quran Sharif. What a great kitab. But some people, they do not follow the commands of Allah ta'ala. They believe in the Quran. They are zalim and they are causing harm to themselves. Then there are certain people who obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from sin. Just like they're very basic. So they are in a middle category. But then they are those sabiqum bil khairati bi iznillah. They hasten. They do the nawafil also. They abstain from the makruh actions also. And they want to try to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest virtue which a person must make an effort towards. And by means of that day, he will get Jannat, the highest levels of Jannat. And the other people on the other side will be the people of Jahannam. And they will be screaming in Jahannam, going through great difficulties. Rabbana akhrijna, Allah take us out from Jahannam. Now we will do good actions, not what we were doing in this worldly life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, didn't I give you so much of life in this world, which you could have taken nasihat and advice? I gave you the age, you became baligh, you had 15 years to think about your life. Or by the time you reached the age of 40, now this was so much Allah gave you life. 40 you reached, what a long age Allah had given you to think about your life, to ponder, to correct yourself, and you still never changed your life. وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. And many, many warners have come to you people, and you never accepted the warners. What are the warners? Ulama say different warners Allah sends to a person. The wa'az and nasihat of the ulama, every Jummah we hear bayan. The Tabligh Jamaat comes to our houses, they also warn us, they are warning us about Akhirat. Then a person sees Motul Aqran, his family people are dying. People you know, your age, he passed away. This is the greatest warning for a person, that my friend passed away, I could have been in the same place. So Allah will say, a warner came to you, you never took take advice. One warner is the white hairs which come onto a person. Person starts getting white hairs. It's a warner now that you are leaving this world. The birth of your grandchild. Allah says, now one generation has come. The next generation has come. Now it's your time to leave this world. The next generation has already started. So these are all warners in a person's life. A person must look in all of these things and take lesson and advice and prepare himself for the life of the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa salli ala rasulihi al-Kareem. Amma ba'd. عن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث من قبل نجد فغنموا غنائم كثيرة وأسرعوا الرجعة فقال رجل ممن لم يخرج ما رأينا بعث أسرع رجعة ولا أفضل غنيمة من هذا البعث فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أدلكم على قوم أفضل غنيمة وأسرع رجعة قوم شهدوا صلاة الصبح ثم جلسوا في مجالسهم يذكرون الله حتى طلعت الشمس فأولئك أسرع رجعة وأفضل غنيمة رواه الترمذی. حضرت عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ سے مروی ہے کہ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے نجد کی طرف ایک مرتبہ جہاد کے لیے لشکر بھیجا جو بہت ہی جلد واپس لوٹ آیا اور ساتھ ہی بہت سارا مال غنیمت لے کر آیا. لوگوں کو بڑا تعجب ہوا کہ اتنی ذرا سی مدت میں ایسی بڑی کامیابی اور مال و دولت کے ساتھ واپس آ گئی. حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ کیا میں تمہیں اس سے بھی کم وقت میں اس مال سے بھی بہت زیادہ غنیمت اور دولت لانے والی جماعت بتاؤں؟ یہ وہ لوگ ہیں جو صبح کی نماز میں شریک ہیں پھر اسی جگہ بیٹھے ذکر میں مشغول رہے حتیٰ کہ آفتاب طلوع ہو جائے تو یہ لوگ بہت تھوڑے سے وقت میں بہت زیادہ دولت کمانے والے ہیں. حضرت عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an expedition towards Najd. The group acquired a great amount of booty and returned very quickly. A man who had not gone with the group said, "We have never seen a group which has returned so quickly with so much booty like this group." Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Should I not show you such people who attain much more wealth in a much shorter space of time? It is those people who are present for Fajr Salah and thereafter remain in their places making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until sunrise. These people attain much more wealth in a much shorter time." Once again, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an expedition towards Najd. The group acquired a great amount of booty and returned very quickly. A man who had not gone with the group said, "We have never seen a group which has returned so quickly with so much booty like this group." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Should I not show you such people who attain much more wealth in a much shorter space of time? It is those people who are present for Fajr Salah and thereafter remain in their places making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until sunrise. These people attain much more wealth," meaning reward, "in a much shorter time."